when I read it, it really hit me right between the eyes, as you're going to see, for me in particular. Okay, we're up to way number 12. Way number 12, the Ramah calls growth through teaching, which is pilpul ha-talmidim. Again, this is based on the Arba and Mishmona ways, the 48 ways that you're kind of tired, which is brought in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. Don't let your idea remain a hazy notion in your imagination. Transmit it to others and make it a reality. If we have an idea, don't think about it and analyze it and think about it for a day, 1 month, think about it for years. People have tremendous ideas. You need, right, we have to convey it. We're not talking about idea to execution, like making the pet rock. We're talking here now about if we have an idea, i.e. Torah, wisdom, share it. That's the point of tonight. If we have wisdom, don't keep that diamond to yourself, share it. Most people don't think of themselves as teachers. I'm a teacher, I'm a business teacher, I'm a business person, I'm a lawyer, I'm whatever I am, I'm not a teacher. We view teaching as a profession. This person, this man or this woman is a teacher. I'm not a teacher. And besides, we might not have the certain, not everybody has an ability to be a teacher. They think they're not outgoing. They can't express themselves. Way number 12 is pilpul ha-talmidim, which means discussions with students. Notice again how he defines everything. It's not, as we're going to see in a minute, directing and talking to, it's discussing with students to attain wisdom for living, which is what we're doing here, all these shiurim. Teaching needs to be a way of life. What Rav Noach is saying here, based on the Pirkei Avos, is teaching is not just for the select few people. It has to be a part of our life. Every single one of us must be a teacher in a certain way. Why? Because if you can't teach the idea as we learn, then you don't know it. If I can't teach it over to somebody else, then I don't know it. And this is what we find all the time. Remember in school when the teacher was saying, you know the math? You know it? Yeah, I know it. So come up and teach it to the class. And then all of us then start shriveling down a little bit. Why? You know why? Why? Oh, beautiful. Because we really don't know it. Having to explain an idea to others forces us to clarify it for ourselves. One examines everything much more thoroughly, the details, the progression, and you become personally moved by the idea. As the Chacham said, what do we say? I learned a lot from my teachers. I learned even more from my colleagues. But for the most, I learned from my students. 2 points, Mrs. Weitzman. And you'll notice a progression. If you'll notice the past two times, I even walked into this dinner tonight, somebody come up, a guy, he says, Chasli, day number 14? I said, no, it's 12. So I'm getting that, people throwing numbers at me. If you remember the past two lectures, number 10 was honoring the wise person. Number 11, which is Mashimash Chachamim. Notice how we started from Chachamim. Number 11 last week was work it through with friends, which is Diktuk Chaverim. And now we're talking about teaching, talmidim students. So first we start, we want to honor the person, then with our friends, and now teaching. Now teaching. And if we don't have the teaching, we're missing a critical point. We learn most from teaching. You believe this? If I hear the Rav, if I hear a wise person, we went through that lecture 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the most is by teaching. And I tackle, that's why I got hanah from this too also, because you, the most you get is from this. Okay. Until you share an idea, it's not yours. It remains but a hazy notion in your imagination. Transmitting the idea to others makes it real. You've taken it out of potential and making a reality. Okay. Now we're at the second point. Obligation to teach. Ramnach is saying over here, we actually have an obligation to teach. What does he mean? Teaching, Ramnach says, is a profound moral obligation. Why? Imagine somebody knows a cure for cancer and he doesn't tell anybody. I know it, but I don't feel like sharing. What would we call that person? Call him a murderer. He's a murderer. We don't realize, he says, the worst disease we have, and that's the most destructive and the most contagious as we see through the world, is ignorance. Ignorance perverts people. It leads to wasted, counterproductive lives. We see this all over the world. This is even among, this could even be among the firm people, of course, much less of, but look at the secular world. All their lives are totally unproductive. They could be doing good, of course, they're doing, but they're missing so much wisdom. Ignorance causes untold suffering, mistreatment of children, marital strife, suffering in a dead-end job, all out of ignorance. Imagine we had If we know something that can help people's marriages, if we know something that can help people how to be a parent, and we don't share it, that is an avla. That is terrible. That's why it's an obligation. We must share our knowledge. It's not just a nice thing to do. If you understand something about living, you don't share it, we are a brute. There's something in you that says, I don't care about other people. I'm for myself. You're living in a vacuum. For example, if you know the key to happiness, like we use the example all the time, teach it. You see humans being depressed. If you know happiness, teach it. Who remembers, again, the definition of happiness? This is one of the few that I remember. What? Right, the definition of happiness, as Ramach said often, is the emotional pleasure we have when we focus on the good that we have. The emotional pleasure we have when we focus on the good that we have. Why are so many people depressed? Because what are they focusing on?
The bad.
Focusing on the bad.
That's missing.
And it's such a simple, by the way, that alone, again, like I say sometimes, forget everything we learned. That insight alone, if we think about it, everybody who is depressed is focusing on what they're missing. So as an example of the time, what would we give for our, what's an example that we always say? For our eyes.
Millions.
Right? What would we give? And so we have something that's worth millions, so we have to share it. Okay, example, that was what we said. When you reduce ignorance in the world even by a bit, you give a great gift to mankind. Some diseases only a doctor can treat, but ignorance can be cured by everyone who takes wisdom seriously. Help cure the international ignorance problem. Teach wisdom. Again, so that's what we just learned. We have an obligation to teach if we know something. If a doctor sees somebody who's doing something wrong by taking care of something, he's going to tell them. Same thing. Anything we know, we have to tell our friends. If we have an idea, it's like the Chafetz Chaim he brings down in the Kindness a Day. Hashem created the world in such an interesting way. The wealthiest, the brightest, every single person on the planet is dependent upon the next person. The richest person still needs the supermarket to be open to buy. And the richest person still needs people to come to his kid's wedding. And the greatest physicist still needs help in parenting. So Hashem could have created certain people. The people that know everything. Hashem created the world that we constantly need to teach, right? We need to teach and we need to learn. Okay.
We also need to ask questions. If somebody is ignorant and they don't read, you have to read and you have to see, let's say the book comes out.
Right.
And I want to know something. And somebody tells you that this book is very good about.
Right.
You know, so you know, buy the book or whatever, go to the library. So, and learn. Teach yourself sometimes. It's very good.
Right, but you mean that it's a challenge to teach somebody that's ignorant.
Yeah, but ignorance is...
is bliss. As they say, ignorance is bliss. So what he'll say here, what we're going to say here soon.
They choose to be. Sometimes they choose
right,
to be.
Right, people are.
Sometimes they choose to be ignorant.
Very often. Very often. So what we're going to say in here, what Noach says over here, what we should be doing is creating a desire from others to want. They don't want to hear a lecture. It's a talent.
The skills to...
get them to elicit it. It's like when a frum person, again, in Kirov, in Kirov, they don't want to hear the lecture. They don't want to hear the lecture. They want to come and have the hot challah on Shabbos. And they want to see the father giving the bracha to the kids. And then they'll want it. So it's the same thing. Again, that's why a good teacher gets the kids to want it. Well, what 10-year-old kid wants to sit and listen for 2 hours? But you see the top teachers do it. Because they get the kids to want it. That's what we have to work on.
Somebody gives a speech, you know, and gives a speech. Sometimes they give a speech, you're sleeping.
Right,
sometimes,
right, right.
When Rabbi Donner, I remember, he gave the speech by the Agoda Convention. He was the last speaker, and he has such a sense of humor. Everybody by that time was sleeping.
Right.
The minute he started to speak,
right.
Everybody was wide awake,
really.
Sitting with an open mouth.
Really.
And it was like 11 or 12 o'clock at night.
Really.
It was phenomenal.
That's tremendous.
He woke up everybody. Everybody was laughing and whatever.
That's awesome. I better learn some new jokes over here to keep everybody awake. The drive to communicate. Everyone enjoys making a difference in people's lives. 91% of the world, or 99% of the world, are motivated to help others. You should know it's a very important human need, as he says over here. people, Jew and non-Jew alike, have that need. They want to help people. Let's say he gives an example over here. You see somebody who's playing baseball, and the kid is holding the bat the wrong way. Even if he's on the other team, it breaks our heart. We can't live with ourselves to see that they don't know what to do. We want to help. It's a nature. It's actually, I heard from Rabbi Waxman once said, he was on a bus, and there were a bunch of thugs there. And this was back whenever, 40, 50 years ago, and they would have had no problem to go ahead and beat him up. He had a chap again. He must have been a genius back then, too. He went over to these thugs and said, you know, can you just tell me how can I get to Nostrand Avenue? Which stop do I get off at? He went to these kids.
So they would help him.
They would help him.
They would get it back.
We have a need to help people. Although they would have originally wanted to, but now the person is on my cheshbon. He's on my. So you have. So he switched. Isn't that ingenious, by the way? Yeah. It's ingenious. We shouldn't need it, but something to have in our back pocket. So we have that. It hurts when we see somebody wasting their time or doing something wrong. Teaching is a way to build a bond with a person. Don't sell yourself short. You have the ability to make a positive impact. That's a word, again, that I love from Ramnach, impact. If you remember, I heard this at the Project Inspire convention 2 years ago from Rabbi Mechanic. He said this was a line that Ramnach said that I never heard. He told people all the time, don't be right, be impactful. I keep that. I have as a post-it on my screen. Don't be right. Who cares if you're right? Be impactful. I guess that's why Dale Carnegie sold all those books, you know, that had to influence other people. That's the key. Think back to growth experience that changed you. Perhaps something made you more mature, or enabled you to take disappointments better, or taught you how to be independent, or more tolerant of others. If the memory has stuck with you, then share it with others. We all have certain skill sets that we do well. Our job is to teach to others. So this is the next part over here that I was saying before. How do we get them? We have to create the desire. Imagine that a child is sick with a rare disease. If it's an acquaintance, you'd probably say, that's terrible, it's terrible. If it was somebody's cousin, we might take some more responsibility. If chas v'shalom, if it's somebody's own child, there is no stone unturned to find. He gives an example over here of a couple that he knew, a businessman and a doctor, and they found out that their two young children had, how do you pronounce it, Gaucher disease? Gaucher or Gaucher disease, I don't know what kind of disease. It's a debilitating condition that's handicapped for life and could be fatal. So what did they do? A businessman and a doctor, okay, they had some. They got together, they found an organization, and they were committed to finding the cure for this disease. She did the medical research, and he raised the money. What happened was they tried, and Hashem helped them, and after 6 years, they developed a synthetic enzyme that can effectively treat the condition. And their two children became the first two in the world to have a hopeful prognosis. So how did we get it? Because they cared. When you have a passion and it's affecting you, then we can do it. That's the key. Again, care. And key of again, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much
you care.
By the way, that's another great billion-dollar line. It's true. They don't care about the speech. They care about the challah and the chulent and the smile. They don't care about the Torah. The Torah will come later. It sells itself. It's the same thing over here. This couple, Rachman and Tzlan, nobody should have these challenges. When it's one of your own, then you will do it. I remember Ari Rabinowitz spoke from here at a Tom Chai Shabbos dinner. And I have this as a reminder. I said my BlackBerry, but now I got an iPhone. I have a reminder on it. He said, when he was talking about, it was Tom Chai Shabbos, I don't know how can I, he said, imagine it's our... What?
Was this year?
Not this year. This was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. It was 2 years ago or so. He said, imagine it's our kid. It's our kid. When we see the problem, it's our kids. We need to look around. When we're seeing, this is our kid. His name might be Goldberg. I was going to say Schwartz, but now my son-in-law is Schwartz. His name might be Goldberg, but it's our kid. So that's how we have to do. When we care, we'll make the effort. So that's how we have to figure out. First, before we create the desire in other people, we got to create desire in who? in ourselves, right? We can't get anybody else passionate about something until we're passionate. So now this next part that was talking to me. This next section is don't bore your audience. So Reb Noach is saying, Chesky, don't bore your audience. That's why I got to get a little bit more in here. There he goes again with another soliloquy. When you teach, don't recite a manifesto. What you're teaching has to be relevant. Teaching means to reach somebody, get them to appreciate what you feel is important. Start with a joke or a story. Encourage your students to ask questions. Then that will unlock the essence of the message. I just was speaking to somebody this week. We were talking about the word chen. What does chen mean? Did we speak about this last week?
No.
What does chen mean?
So they want anything
pure,
it's a certain
thing.
So
Rabbi, I'll tell you, Rabbi Rieti, who spoke by us once on behalf of Arvadas, he's tremendous, he's off the charts. So he said, what does chen mean? So he says, as in this way, in King James Bible, it says chen is grace. That's, if you look at the Arsul chen, so what does grace mean? It's brought down actually the first time by Noach. Noach matzachein b'enei Hashem. By the way, if you take a look at Noach, chen and Noach is the same thing. So if you look at that, but what really is chen? So he said, I believe from the Stipler, a novel approach. He says, what is a mechanech? What is a mechanech? How do you translate mechanech? An educator. But you know what it really is, mechanech? Mechanech, he explained from the Stipler, is a connector. A mechanech is a connector, not a teacher, not delivering information. A mechanech is a connector. So what is chen? That is chen. Chen is when somebody has a connection. Now the Chofetz Chaim says, and it brought down again, credit to the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, and their kindness today. They give an example of a kid. I must have mentioned this here before. A kid goes to, I didn't mention this even last week. A kid is in camp. There's one popular kid in the class. Most popular kid in the class, and then they go to camp, and they don't know one soul. Everybody's from out of town. And he calls home, he says, Ma, I don't understand. Nobody knew this kid yet, from back home in Brooklyn. We come to camp in the Catskills, and he's the most popular kid again. What is it? What did he do over here?
What does he have?
The answer, what does he have? He has chen. And chen is the one thing the Chofetz Chaim says. I never said this here before. It's a tremendous insight. Anything we try to attain, really try, we will get. Meaning, somebody who wants to be a Talmud Chacham, it might take one person 10 years, it might take somebody 1 year. But lefi derech hateva, nothing heebie-jeebie. Lefi derech hateva, one will attain it. Somebody wants to be a successful business person, unless it's a gezeirah min hashamayim or something like that, and they're normal, they have certain normal skills. Somebody might take a year, somebody might 10 years. But lefi derech hateva, if somebody plugs away in all earnest, they will make parnas and be successful. There's one thing in life that the more you try to get, the less you get. What is that?
Money?
No. Chen. The more you want to endear yourself to somebody, you notice this, and when you want to endear yourself, pulls back. The boy who wants to go and push it, you know, stay away. It's a gift from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Chen is a gift from Hashem. So what is chen? Chen is, and we have to daven for it, but chen is connecting. So that's what he's saying over here. We have to, the mechanech, remember that stipple, a mechanech is not an information giver, a mechanech is a connector. So when being lectured to, people's minds wander. They don't come back, they want to go home. Don't lose sight of your audience. You have to feel how they're reacting to your message. People will listen to anything if it's said in the right way. Here.
Like a criticize a person, you know?
Right.
And if a person feels you just criticize them, just to not do anything to help them, you just want to, not just to make yourself feel better or something.
Right.
Be any good for them. But if you want to criticize, likes the person,
right,
does please own good,
yeah,
then that person
is not
very
easy.
Right, right. We have to. And that's again, one of the hardest jobs on the planet is teaching. One of the, you really have to have, I mean, teaching in school. We can, again, we're learning tonight that we should teach everybody. But to be a teacher in school, just to do it for a job or to do it, now you'll notice the caliber of our moras and our rebbeim and our teachers is on a much, much higher level than it was. It used to be 30 years ago, somebody couldn't get a job and something else, they became a teacher. Now that there's so many frumer that over the past 20, 30 years that so many people want to be a Rebbe and want to be a Mora, the caliber is much greater. And the truth is where it should be, because that is the most important profession, teaching teaching our kids.
To be a teacher.
Yes.
He also had a teacher in yeshiva, but that was a nightmare. So every morning he took the bus down to Macy's.
And you learned over there. Right.
You know what it was? It was like a nightmare. Going to school was a nightmare.
Really?
She was a very attractive woman, and I'm sure very bright. But she was what you call... That's a schlock in English. That's a schlock. You know what a schlock is?
A schlock. Like a police.
A schlock is... What do you call a schlock?
Like a witch. Really?
It was seventh grade.
Really? What did she teach?
That was it.
Really? You had everything morning till night. English. That's terrible.
I'm sure she had a master's, because she had a PhD.
Really?
But she wasn't allowed to be a teacher.
But she
didn't
know how to teach, actually.
She wasn't allowed to be a teacher. Really? She wasn't allowed to teach.
Really? Today they wouldn't accept it.
That the school should go on fire.
Really?
She should be in. Everyone else should be.
This person must have been really bad if Mrs. Rudinsky didn't like her. Wow, I would not want to meet her in a dark alley. Okay. Right. It's got to be deep. It's got to be inside. Right.
It's like my son is a special ed teacher when he comes home, which he needs to show that.
Right.
He loves those children. He just. It's amazing.
Baruch Hashem. It's tremendous. That's exactly where it's supposed to be. Clarify your goal. Be clear and concise. Pinpoint in stark, simple terms what you want to communicate. We need to know what to communicate. If you can't summarize your message in one or two sentences, it's not clear enough in your mind. Maybe I can give this to you, Mrs. Weiss. You can write in the back if you want to get the... And unquestionably, your listener will end up confused. Imagine you're 12 years old and your kid brother is messing up your room. You better not mess up my room or I'm going to beat you, you tell your brother. Is that threat of violence going to accomplish what you want? Is that what you really want to communicate? You want to tell him that it's not right to mess up my room. If you talk to somebody, you'll get the point across. How will you communicate this to him? Not how will you aggravate him, challenge him, dare him, antagonize him, and make an enemy out of him. How are you going to reach him? It's so simple. There are simple ways of reaching people one time, and then you can get to them. Let's refine the message. Brother, just as you don't enjoy having your room messed up, I don't want my room to be messed up either. That's going to go a lot longer. It's going to go a lot further. Stop yelling and arguing. Start teaching and start reaching. Okay. Teach and don't preach, Reb Noach says. I'm no preacher. Who am I to tell people what to do? So we're finished. We spent 25 minutes on this. I'm not a teacher. I'm going to go ahead and tell. He's saying yes. Preaching is giving over information with fire and brimstone, and we don't listen to what the audience has to say. The preacher's saying, I'm the expert. I know what's best. You just listen. Don't ask any questions. Don't use your mind. Listen to me. Obey me. That's not what we need to do. That's not the Jewish way. That's brainwashing. What is teaching? Teaching, again, is communicating. Remember what the disciple says, being a mechanech or mechaneches, is to communicate and connect. To teach is to get others to see and understand it on their own terms. Enable the student to get in touch with what he knows and rediscover it on his own. An impassioned teacher can be inspiring and uplifting. But ultimately, a teacher has to be able to convey ideas in a way that emotions don't interfere and distort the message. If you're teaching in the sense of, I'm going to straighten this kid out, nobody's going to listen. Speak with people, not to people. You have to speak with them. Be open to feedback. If you're wrong, tell me. Be confident that truth will prevail. So that's that part. Now the next part is making it real. He's saying you need to know your material inside and out. So that's why I feel bad. I mean, I picked this format, which maybe is not the best format. You know, I'm reading primarily from this because I figured it's from Nock's words. It happens to be a lot easier for me too. But maybe this isn't the best format. I probably should be spending more time, and I'd be able to work the material. That is taka better. I have to listen. I have to practice what I'm preaching, right? Right. 40 hours a week. That's the one issue is the time. So he says you need to know your materials. It builds confidence. So the moment of teaching, you can focus not on the content, but on the presentation. It's so true. He was he was brilliant. You don't want to focus on your content. When you're now communicating with people, you want to be able to focus on the presentation, not on the content. That's why he's saying that that's the best way to do it. You shouldn't recite dead notes. Even if you're taught the course already 100 times, you need to be able to give it over and invigorate other people. From the Chacham say, what comes from the heart will come to the lev, nichnasam alev. What's yoytze from the lev is nichnasam alev, and people know that. You need to be passionate about something and give it over in that way. It's the best, now he says, to review on a schedule like we do with the Torah once a year. Every parsha, we're doing it again. Once a year, we got to do it. It's the same thing over here. Now, inspire action. This is the last part. He says it's possible to be an exposed to the idea. We think we understand the idea and totally miss the point. He says that's why some people are inconsistent and even contradictory in their actions. They think they know an idea. They think they know what happiness is. They think they know what different insights are, but they don't practice it. Again, everything we're learning, we can read something and even get 100 on the test, but if we don't practice it, it means gornished, zero, zilch, zippo. Teaching is not just conveying bits and bytes of information. It's about affecting a change in behavior. That's why Chazar is so important. Like I'm thinking now, we finished a quarter of the 48 ways. Are we talking on the street or orally to each other? Are we doing it? I kept over here. We really have to see. So today we're talking about learning from our students. Teaching is the way. Last week we learned about working it through with friends. The week before was Urbaim. The week before we spoke about something called total concentration. We need no distractions, focusing like a missile. The week before we spoke about Simcha, constant joy. That's a game changer. If you have joy, which is a Chiyuv Ivduas Hashem B'Simcha, it's a game changer. Now all of these things we could say in 25 seconds, but if we're not reviewing it or practicing it, it means gornished. It means gornished. If you look at this, it's just tremendous. Number four was introduce yourself to yourself. We learned again how to talk to ourselves, really figuring out who we are. We have to ask ourselves, what do we want in life? Am I disorganized? Do I get angry? We want to learn from ourselves. Three, again, is the one I always joke about, saying it out loud. And number one was being aware of every moment. We're like a quarter of the way through. Like I mentioned before, what really we should do is take these things, this is my humble opinion, and teach it over to our spouses. Say it over to a friend, not for an hour, for 5 minutes. Pick the five highlights, underline, say the five highlights, and then you will know the material 3, 4, 5 times better because you'll now have to convey it to somebody. Literally, it could take 5 minutes. But then if you do this, you'll know it so much better. Ideas impact people. Ideas change the way people think and give them the tools to change the way they act. Develop a good lesson plan, work through. So who's going to read the bullets? Mrs. Minzer, take it away. Start. The last bullets here.
Where the
test? Yeah, why is teaching a way to wisdom?
The test of whether you have grasped an idea properly is to teach it to others. Until then, you don't really understand it.
Number two.
You all want to be good. Sharing your wisdom gives you the self-respect that comes from sharing.
Here. Mrs. Weiss, we're giving you the last page, so you're here also. Third bullet. We all need to participate. Third bullet.
If your own child needed to know something important, you'd care enough to teach it.
Teach whenever you can. The more you practice, the better you get.
Teaching others is a meaningful way to... is a deep expression of creativity.
Students make you honest with yourself.
If you have a piece of wisdom, there's more obligation to share.
Teaching others contributes to the betterment of the world.
Gewaldig. So my, again, so my recommendation is spend a grand total of 5 minutes, not six. 5 minutes, and tell us over to your spouse, to a friend, to a child, to yourself if you want, and that will, then you'll have a takeaway. Because the lectures go, and then it's a mishmash. That's why Chazara is key. Whether you're learning Gemara, or whether you're learning this or anything, we have to, and that's tonight's lecture. Tonight's lecture is teaching. So let's start. Can we all commit to that? Telling it over to somebody, is that a fair request? Okay, team.